drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man. Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers, you guys know what it is. It's the Detroit Kool-Aid cast talking about those Lions. Talking Detroit sports, but what a game this past Saturday night. Ford Field was rocking. Our Lions just putting points on the board, doing what they do. Big Dubski, talk all about that. All types of other hijinks, as you know, as we do on this show. And get you ready for the Lions heading to Minnesota with the NFC North title on the line for Detroit. So much going on. We got playoffs. We got all types of things. You guys know who he is. He's back. He's hashtag choppy hockey. He talks wings. He yells in his microphone. And his quarterback showed up big, so I'm sure he's excited about this show. Chops, you're here. I know you're ready. And we got so much to get into, so we can't mess around. What up, buddy?
Woo-wee! Okri, as the original conductor of the Gosh Train, I am happy to be here, and I am happy to talk all things JG16 and the Lions today and every day going forward right into those playoffs. Baby, how you doing?
All aboard!
I'm doing good. The golf train's doing real good. I'm sure you'll bring that up multiple times on the show. But Chops, I mean, this was a game. People were freaking out. I heard people on the radio saying we weren't going to win another football game. Boo-hoo, we're going to lose twice to Minnesota. We're going to, like, the world is crumbling. Your quarterback hadn't played good football. Our defense couldn't cover a coffee table. But where was our confidence last week? We said this was going to be a win. We said we were going to put up points. I even was quoted on the show and on Twitter. You guys can find me at Derek Overy saying, we're about to put a 40 burger on Denver.
Oh, they got a good defense. Okay, and that's what
we went out. Your quarterback played flawless. I tweeted out that we just can't unuse a great nickname like Teddy Biscuits on Mr. Bridgewater, who said he's going to retire. He never plays. It's just too dang good. So I said, executive decision. I'm changing it from Teddy Biscuits to Sammy Biscuits for Sammy Laporta. What does he do soon after? Big first down catch, a couple big plays, and three touchdowns. I mean, the nickname is in effect. Yes, you can still use 1-800-CALL-SAM. Yes, there's a whole bunch of Laporta supporters out there. But he's balling out. So many other players to talk about. But I'm just looking at the game review, Choppy. Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown in quarter number two for the Lions after going three and out, I think, the first three drives. So 21-0, kept it rolling. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, the game started off a little slow. You know, we stopped him up with that fumble, but, you know, and all right, it was punt, punt, punt. And I'm like, oh, okay, come on, let's go. So our three scripted drives, you know, absolutely just failed. But then, man, something clicked. And then it was, like you said, 8 plays, 80 yards, tug. 6 plays, 60 yards, tug. 11 plays, 81 yards, tug. And end of the half, 21-0. The offense was clicking. JG was balling. I believe that Jared Goff actually overthrew your boy, hashtag JMO Fast, in the second quarter. So I don't want to hear no bula bula about he can't throw. He actually overthrew JMO early in the second. So what do you have to say about that? Okwuegi.
I don't hate him. I don't.
that's what I got to say. But Chops, let's do it in gimmicks as we do on this show. I'll let you do the first touchdown by number 87. Use whatever nickname you want, but do it that way.
Oh my gosh. You want me to, I'll get you a way to give the entire rundown of how the touchdown went. All right. Jared Goff drop snap. The hashtag Goff train rolls back. Samuel Laporta down the field. The Laporta supporters are going nuts. 19 yard bomb. Touchdown Detroit Lions.
Did you work in a Sammy Biscuits though?
He's got three more, man. I'm just getting warmed up here. Come on now. Just get warmed up. He's got three more.
Okay. I don't totally remember how this one went, but it was a 9-yard pass to a guy who's a multidimensional, positionless, elite weapon. Jahmyr Gibbs, 9 yards. He pranced, he danced, he floated into the end zone. This guy is special. I'll talk about him more as we get going. But I need to leave the third down touchdown to you. 19 seconds left in the second quarter to a certain wide receiver that we like to talk about on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Jared Goff dropped back. And then my boy, Amon-Ra, across the middle of the field. Nice 15-yard boom. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. We need a Dan Miller here. He calls it better than I do.
I can do a little help for you. I can get you a stash in the ATL. Amon-Ra. That's the majestic Okri version. Here's the stash version.
Amon-Ra.
Love it.
Not only a touchdown, but upended, almost stuck the landing like he's in the 2024 Olympics. Where are those? In Paris or something, I believe. And all we hear multiple times here in quarter number two is this.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
Thank you, Dan Miller.
Appreciate it, Dan.
Greatest GOAT, greatest of all time. So, Chops, we'll skip over this Denver touchdown because who cares? Except the only thing I care about is it's by one of the better names in all of sports. A guy that I liked when he played at Texas. I liked him in the draft. I liked him when he started out in the Saints. He's been on practice squads. He never plays. But when he does, he makes plays, and that's Little L-I-L dash or apostrophe Jordan Humphrey. Little Jordan Humphrey is actually his government name. He found the end zone against the Lions, 21-7. But then, Chops, it was that tight end again. Do what you do.
Yeah, again, Jared rolls left on this one, finds Sammy Laporta from the 3-yard line. And again, in this case, Sammy Biscuits makes a nice grab. Actually, I don't even think there was anybody even within like 3 yards of him. So it was a no-brainer. A good draw by Ben Genius up there. And of course, my boy, Jared Goff hits him with a little dime. I could have underhand shuffled that one to him, but it was a nice little gun. Again, touchdown number two for the Laporta supporters.
Chops, who... Like I'm leaning towards you in a spiral throwing contest against Jared Goff. I mean, he had great stats, 79 and 5 tugs. But if we're talking about who can actually throw the ball without wobbling it, I think you could probably even throw it farther than 16. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, listen, you can just look. Contain your jealousy. You know you want to get a ticket to the Goff train. You know you're not going to get to be on there. I know you're probably going to bring up something about how, oh, we should start looking at H2O. He's actually going to be able to practice this week. Maybe the guy can start for us in the playoffs. No, ridiculous. The Goff train is rolling. You're not on it. And by the way, the guy can throw spirals and he can throw the deep ball. So don't bring that bula bula about Jared Goff. He rebounded, he's ready to go, and he's ready to throw another touchdown to your boy in the fourth quarter.
It sounds familiar, like something you might have told me before or yelled at me before in a previous discussion about your quarterback.
I don't want your bula bula support when it comes to Jared Goff. You don't get to join the Goff train. You're off, bro. You're off.
Oh, I don't know. This is like funnier every time, I swear. It's just so classic and so impromptu in so many ways. But, Chop, you said this was the walk-in. That's actually the last touchdown by 1-800-CALL-SAM. If I recall, this was an absolute laser beam in traffic that Sam LaPorta had just plucked out of the air with his white, crispy gloves, which leads to the Sammy Biscuits moniker. But he just snatched this with the white gloves, the white mittens, and just plucked the cornbread away right out of the air for a touchdown, if I recall.
Yeah, I think that was on the last one, Jared Goff. Again, you want to talk about tight spirals, man. He threw it into a window. We put it where only LaPorta could get it and made a nice snag there. But again, dude, like, I'll say it again. TJ who? That's right. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. Well, like you said, I already did the main gimmick, but I mean, everybody is coming around on Jahmyr Gibbs. Ja is showing what I tweeted out, which is this guy runs at full speed, he makes full cuts at full speed, and he finishes runs with power. You know what else he does, Chops? He gets up after being hit. He gets up after being tackled. This guy is no fragile scat back. This guy will punish you. He will run past you. He will cut you up like a crossover on the basketball court. Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja, is something special, and people realize that now. I'm not hearing all this boola about, oh, I think we should have took Jalen Carter. He's a real good guy. Yeah, that's not what was said around draft time. Plus, we don't have 18 of his other teammates that can somewhat keep him in check. So tip your cap to Brad Holmes. He was aggressive. He saw the talent. He saw how special this guy is. And when you're doing what this kid's doing as a rookie, I mean, this is 11 carries for 100 yards and a tug, plus receiving yards, plus the fact that he's great on the souvenir cups and in the media, plus he's only going to get better and better. He's elite when it comes to speed, talent, and ability. I mean, everyone's pretty much come around, me included, on this positional value, this football player, this talent, and all the other alternatives that everybody wanted.
Yeah, he's breaking records left and right, Okri. I mean, again, 12 games played, 139 carries, averaging 5.7 yards a carry. That is insane. 7 tugs. Again, you know, a long run of 36. And then you get into the receiving game, same thing, 47 receptions for almost 300 yards and a touchdown, man. Again, averaging 6.3 for receptions. This guy is, like you said, I'm not going to use your moniker, but he's elite. He is absolutely elite. And, you know, if we've definitely come around on him, and also knowing that, you know, we kind of got a nice little twofer where we traded back and then, oh, I don't know, got Sam LaPorta for the supporters, Sam at Biscuits, whatever you want to call him, call Sam Studio. Just ridiculous. These two rookies are absolutely balling out. It's an amazing draft steal by Brad, always open for business. Holmes, you know, LaPorta is breaking records. And at this point, he's not even breaking rookie tight end records. He's like breaking rookie regular, any wide receiver, like receiving records total, including wide receivers. He's on par to break a lot of different records. And, you know, I'm here for it, man. It's just amazing. I don't know how these guys, there was a lot of top tight end talent there. And, you know, you tell me anybody who had Sam LaPorta as their number one tight end coming into this draft, and I'll tell you they were lying, unless it was Brad, always open for business, Holmes, because there were a lot of other names out there that people were throwing around, but this guy is elite, and he is absolutely ours for the next 4 years on a super cheap deal.
Choppy, man, I hear you. I feel you. 42-17. How about those lads? This was tremendous, man, on so many levels. I mean, it was one of those easy wins again. I didn't have to hear a bunch of people boo-hooing or worrying in the fourth quarter or wondering when the sky is going to fall, because it wasn't. Your quarterback balled out. Our running back played well. Amon-Ra did what he does. 112 and a tug. Just everybody from the old line to the defense, people played well. The coaches even mixing up our players, mixing up our schemes, AG bringing blitzes. Chops, we went like 15 minutes on this review talking about touchdowns and doing gimmicks, and we didn't talk about our boy Iffy. Actually, he's not my boy. I don't think he's your boy, because I thought the Lions had relegated him to the return counter at the bowling alley, the guy that takes the shoes and sprays them down before the next usage, because I didn't even know this guy was still available. Yet here he shows up the last couple weeks, physical specimen, balling out, looking like an all-pro player. CJ GJ, a.k.a. CD Deuce, a.k.a. Deucey, is on his way back. I mean, Chaps, there's still so much to talk about. I mean, this team's balling. It's incredible. What a great win.
Yeah, lots of great points by you, Oakry. You know, I think you hit it right spot on with Aaron Glenn. I mean, we saw some new personnel. We actually saw some new scheme, something that you and I have been talking about. Like, you know, is it scheme? Is it personnel? Is it coaching? What is it? Dude, the exotic blitz packages they were putting out there, I loved it, man. You never knew who was going to be coming at the quarterback. You know, sometimes it was iffy. They had Brian Branch coming in. Sometimes it was Anzalone coming in. It was nice. It was great changeup. I loved it. Hopefully we continue to see that. You know, because we're at the point where it's time to pull out all the stops, right? Like, if you got stuff, if you got tricks in the bag, you know, I'm not saying we need to use them on Minnesota. Maybe we need to use them on Dallas, but like, it's time to go. Like, we got to figure out who's going to fit where. You know, latest and greatest on CJ, that's my GJ, is that he will be back on Christmas Eve against Minnesota, which would just be ridiculous if he could get some reps in three games in before the playoffs. You know, Oakley, you know, the one thing too I want to talk about, man, this O-line. When we have our starting five, Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Glasgow, and Sewell, we are averaging 38 points a game, 421 yards of offense, 180 rush yards, 5.5 yards of carry, and my boy, JG16, is averaging 122 passer rating, and we are 5-0. Okay, so the O-line needs to be healthy. If we need to rest them against Dallas and Minnesota after we clinch the division, you know, I'm okay with it. Give them some maintenance days. I know that Dan Campbell said they'll get to rest when the season's over, but man, we need the starting five on this O-line to open up holes, to push people around, and to give Jared Goff the pocket that he needs, because if we are healthy, this O-line can lead us to the Super Bowl.
It was absolutely crazy to hear that Frank Ragnow had a procedure on his knee and was back in a week or two. Dan freaking Campbell was like, he told me he's going to be back. Mind over matter. This guy could play in any era. He's that good. And he does, him and that whole line does make just a huge difference. We take it for granted, I think, sometimes, even though, like, Lions fans, we've been clamoring forever to have those beasts up front. Now that we do, I mean, they impact the pass game, the run game. They help out our defense, everything. I mean, it's absolutely huge. And the fact that they haven't been able to stay healthy, it's always somebody out, somebody in and out, somebody changing positions. It's going to be absolutely crucial to keep them healthy in the spots that they're most comfortable with as much as we can, especially heading down the track here. And Chops, I don't know if you've been to the if you've been to the store recently, you know, you've probably been buying some Christmas gifts, maybe some food for the old holiday feast you've been having. But you know how there's that aisle? There's always that aisle checkout you can go in that's a little bit quicker than all the others. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the self-checkout line?
Yeah, or just, you know, it's supposed to be a little bit faster maybe than the other lanes. I mean, you ever look up at the sign and just say, you know what that should say? Hashtag JMO Fast checkout. Because hashtag JMO Fast is starting to get the football. He's starting to make plays. He's starting to juke people. He's getting swaggier with his gear. Still needs a little bit of work. He's coming together as the guy that me and you talked about for, I don't know, maybe 2 hours on our draft episode where we were just freaking out that we got Jameson Williams, who I called before Brad Holmes did, on the clock, and that you were going crazy about because your boy, JG16, finally had more weapons to use. Like, I really like what I'm seeing, and I feel like it's barely scratching the surface of what this guy can do. So the hashtag JMOFast checkout line is the one to be in right now.
Yeah, I like it. They definitely made an emphasis to get him in, involved in the offense early. I think he had 3 targets early. You know, 4 receptions, 47 yards, 7 total targets for the game, which is his most targets he's had all season. Actually, in any game as a Lion. So absolutely love it. You know, if they can get this guy going as a legit number two and deep threat behind Amon-Ra in the slot and with the sure hands of the Laporta supporters and, of course, the running back weapons that we have, we are going to be sitting pretty for years and years and years to come. And the last thing I'll say about this game, Okri, I think it's worth noting that if you bet, my friends, and you took the hashtag chops lock of the week, you would have hit the over by a billion because we put up 42 ourselves like we said we would and crushed that over of, I think, 42. I'm sorry, it was 47. We nailed it and got a 57. So hope you hit that, made some money for yourselves, people. With that, that's all. I think that puts a nice little bow on it for me.
So that's kind of like a cheap pop for you to try to get a hashtag props for chops from a lot of people, right?
Woo-wee! I don't even need to use my own gimmicks. You're using them for me. Thank you, sir.
Oh, man, there's still so much we could get into. But, yeah, man, that's the Denver game. Prime time, big win. Detroit was loving it. We're feeling good. We still got a little bit of work to do, but just a little bit. We could still be the one seed, the two seed, or the three heading into the playoffs. But Dan Campbell's got their nose to the grindstone. So, everybody, let's go ahead and get our great sponsors in here. When we come back, we'll do some hijinks, some shout-outs. I've got a few questions I got to fire at Chops, and we will preview the Detroit Lions heading to Minnesota with everything on the line. Why not get it done right here, right now, this Sunday, Christmas Eve, right before the holidays? What a present for the entire city and state of Michigan. Everybody, we'll be right back. All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You can put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now. Now. Kool-Aid drinkers, we're back from the break. You've probably heard me say this once or twice, but I can't thank you enough for checking out our sponsors, whether it be Spotify, Reality Sports Online. I always tell you guys to check out PFF All 22 Fantasy Football. My guy Bryce Johnson over there at Fantasy Football Fellowship. You know, we got Spotify for podcasts. We got so many great sponsors and people that rep our show. We got Joey Sports Guy on Twitter. Our guy Logan Lamarandier from Sports Illustrated All Lions. You guys know what it is. So many people that make this show go. But especially the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
Choppy, you got any shouts, you got any rants, you got anything you want to get rolling before I hit you with a few questions and we talk about the Minnesota Vikings preview where the Detroit Lions can win the NFC North Championship this Sunday?
Yeah, okay, I'm glad you asked. I want to, you know, just get a really special shout out to the people of the DKC Fantasy Football League. We had our first round of playoffs, and you knew I wasn't going to let this go because, lo and behold, the hashtag Chops Lock of the Week was another dubski for the hashtag Choppy Fantasy Football Team against your fantasy football player, Flavor, sending you reeling home, even with your six-point bula-bula of advantage for the home field. You know, Chops was locked in and the win was nice. So, hey, moving on to the second round here, got to give a shout out to your boy and my boy of years and years and years, Luke, the Florida Sparties. He's got a big matchup here against the hashtag Choppy Fantasy, but I have a feeling that the Choppy Fantasy is going to come out victorious. And then, of course, I would be remiss if I did not mention the other matchup to get us into the semifinal, and that would be the great Natalie Sparbeck, the sun goddesses, against the kneecaps and helmets that belong to Trevor Tyler. So congrats to those four members of the DKC League, Fantasy League. It's going to be another great week of fantasy football, probably another week where Chops wins and moves to the finals, and another week where I get to just gloat and be happy because I beat you twice this year in this league. Woo-wee!
Yeah, I mean, congrats. I'm glad we got to you got to talk about that. I'm sure the people were very interested to hear, because you know, if I'd have beat you, I mean, I wouldn't have said a word about it on the show. You also teed it up the way I thought you might, which you didn't mention. My number one pick was out. There was other Bula Bula that happened in this matchup that didn't go my way, but it is what it is. I'm not going to bore the people with all the minutia or the fact that I've been screwed in every fantasy league I'm in this year. that might
hashtag
be
show a, specialty.
That might be a DKC select where I just talk about all the bad beats I've had this year as well as all the frustration. Yet I have great teams that basically all made the playoffs and I fell short across the board. But congratulations to all those that are in. Chops, we'll see how you do this week because Luke is the defending champ. Trying to defend his belt, so we'll see how he does. I know he hates to lose, just like I do, just like you do, but somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose. Here's one for you on the show. Congratulations, Choppy, on your victory. There you go.
Oh, I'm glad that was on audio, so I can just cut that section out and put it on repeat, because the accolades are few and far between, so it's nice to hear it straight from you. But great matchup. I know you did get a couple of bad breaks in some of your other leagues too, so it's all fun. It's fantasy. It's supposed to be fun. You're supposed to talk smack. You're supposed to have a good time, and it's supposed to just be something between buddies that you can just, you know, bicker back and forth about. So you know for that the next 9 months, I'm going to be talking smack about whooping your butt twice this year in the league that you forced me to join for the people.
It's always fun, except when you lose. Just like it's always fun watching the hashtag Choppy Hockey Red Wings, except when they lose at the buzzer. It's always fun to watch my Michigan Wolverines hoop, except when they lose in double overtime. It's always fun until you lose. So good thing our Lions aren't doing much of that this year. But Chops, like, let's get this on a better note here. So we always give our shouts and we try to find you new listeners, new people that hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on the X machine, whatever you want to call it these days. We got the Kool-Aid hotline. You guys know what the number is, 989-272-3484. You can text in, you can leave a voicemail, you can try to catch us live. You never know when I might just pick up the phone and talk Lions with you for 20 minutes. We may call you live on the show, which we've done with multiple people before. We've got C-Mill from Wisco, a.k.a. the Milkman. Young Santa's been checking in. Steve from Cali, the Tuna. We got Cornbread Jerry's out there somewhere. We've got Bo Knows, Bo DeFrisco. I mean, that's just a couple off the top of my head that have been hitting up the Kool-Aid hotline. So we got that going. But we just appreciate everybody listening, supporting. You can reach us, shoot us a DM on Twitter, tell us about the show, tell us what you like, tell us what you want to hear about. We always do our best for the people. So, Chops, before we get into Minnesota, like, I want to ask you about Sammy Biscuits, because Sam LaPorta, I want to know from you, like, how is this guy so good? Like, I had him probably as my third tight end in this draft. I'm not going to come on here and be like, he was my number one target. He was a guy that I took in mocks. He was a guy that I'm live on audio saying was a target for the Lions with that second round pick when they did take him. But he didn't jump off with athleticism. He's not a powerful, dominating blocker. He's not a lot of things when it comes to being the absolute best, but he's so damn good at everything. He looks the part in the uniform. He's like a thick-looking player, but also gets open all day, every day. He catches everything. Like, am I missing something of why this guy now is just so good, actually being talked about as like a top five tight end in all of football. And can he sustain this? Because I've seen a lot of people come in Detroit, come in other teams, and people put him in the Hall of Fame and say they're top five, top 10, they're going to do this, going to do that. And then they get hurt or the game falls off a little bit. But Sam Laporta doesn't do anything to wow me on paper, but he just wows me week after week on the football field.
Yeah, Okri, anytime we talk about Sam Laporta, you know, I think back to the interviews that they had with him during the combine where he knew every answer. He could read every play. He's a smart football player. And he's just, like you said, he's a football player. Like, he is a dog. He wants to win. He wants to do everything right. He's a consummate professional. And I think, honestly, right off the bat, the rapport he built with Jared Goff was huge and an immediate confidence boost. And once you build that rapport with your quarterback, and that quarterback knows, like, you're going to make a grab when I need it, and you're going to get open when I need it, and you're not going to drop the ball. They just clicked. Would he have clicked this way with another quarterback? I don't know. But you're right. Nothing about him is like, oh my God, he's elite at this specific thing, you know, like where J-Mo is fast or, you know, whatever it is, but like, he just does everything at a high level. And it's been impressive, man. And look, I have seen a lot of talk about, like, is this guy a top, top three tight end in the entire league already? Like, you got some of these aging guys that are on the down, right? Kittle and Kelsey and Mark Andrews. And these guys are kind of on, you know, they're on the back nine of their career. And this dude is like up and coming. I could see him being a top pick in fantasy football tight ends very quickly. Like, he's on the up, man. So we got a gem, and I hope we appreciate it.
Drink it in, everybody.
Drink it in,
I think you hit it right off the top. It's something I always joke around with Logan Lamrandier about, because he will tell me height, weight, speed. He'll tell me athleticism. He'll tell me about the combine. He'll tell me about the tape he watched. He'll tell me how explosive a player is, and I always go, does he love football? Is he smart? Does he care? Is he going to be good in the locker room? What are his intangibles? All that stuff that's hard to measure. And you hit it right off the top, because that interview was awesome, where I distinctly remember they asked him, you know, how he's going to be or what his best trait was, and he said, I'm a locker room guy. You're not going to have to worry about me. And just like said it so confidently, such like a good teammate and a guy that was willing to do whatever it took, as well as get along with everybody, do what the team needs. And his football intelligence, like you said, and getting on the same page with the quarterback, all he does is get open. And when the ball is in his vicinity, it does not hit the ground. He also has an amazing ability to catch and turn up field or keep his body in control where he can then run with the football. I mean, he just does everything really well. I'm not putting him right now as this ultra elite despite all the stats he's put up, but I don't see this guy dropping off either. I don't see him being injury prone in his career. I don't see him, you know, having any big lapses. I just see when the football comes his way, he's going to put up numbers. There's going to be games where he's not utilized, but he's becoming a hell of a target and things that defenses have to figure out. And it all comes back to that intangible love for the game. Great locker room guy. You're not going to have to worry about me. And he's just going to play ball. And I think everybody needs to be really excited about that more so than the 9 touchdowns, the yards, the ranking him. It's just like, you got a tight end that will block, catch, and is just a great teammate for years to come.
Yeah, and that's an underrated thing you mentioned right there, blocking. Like, we don't have to take him out or rotate another guy in on big run plays. Like, he's ready. He fits seamlessly with that front five on the O-line, where he can become a sixth member of the O-line to open holes for the running back. So he's just, you know, he's elite in a steal in a second round. So, guys, you know, again, Brad opens always for business homes, man. Like, that guy, he knows what he's doing. His scouts know what they're doing. So trust the process and trust Brad.
Chaps, my last thing with what you just said is, you know, Brad Holmes has proved himself for 3 drafts now. consistently getting top talent, getting just really no-nonsense productive football players. People are still touting him, obviously, for the pick of Amon-Ra. And, you know, getting guys in the fifth, sixth, even seventh round at times that might be productive or have been productive or have potential. You obviously feel very confident that this is not only sustainable, but he will continue to do this, because I haven't seen much drop off from these draft classes, but I'm just always a little bit hesitant now to still, you know, after X amount of games or, you know, early usage, to just say what these guys are going to end up being years down the road. I think we still take it week by week, year after year, but setting up a really good young core that doesn't seem to be going anywhere, and that he kept his draft picks in his back pocket. So I feel like he's going to just add 2, 3, 4 more solid pieces. I mean, we basically have 4 or 5 draft picks that are playing significant minutes. And we had 2 rookies that scored 5 touchdowns in this game against Denver. I mean, the production is crazy. The talent's where it needs to be, and they're here for years to come. It's very exciting, and I assume you think it's very sustainable for this draft and drafts to come, as long as we can keep Brad Holmes here with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I don't see a drop-off happening at all, Okri. Like, he knows what he's doing. And again, this is a benefit of your GM having a background in scouting. Like, he has worked the pavement. He knows football. He knows football players. And his staff clearly knows football players as well. But look, we could sit here and go through the whole list of the big hits and the couple of things that you've been kind of like, well, maybe. But, you know, he's got so many. And it's not dropping off. And it's not like, you know, it's actually, I mean, again, looking at Gibbs and LaPorta, you know, it might be even getting better. So I know, you know, when he had that 2021 draft where he got Sewell and Amon-Ra, you're like, oh my God, how is this guy going to top this? And, you know, he did. He continues to do it. So I'm super excited. And again, I know we say this a lot, but dude, Lions fans, like, do you realize how lucky we are to have a GM and a coach that are on the same page? And another shout out to Sheila the Hamp, who hired these guys and is letting them do their work. It's just, it's unbelievable, man.
You know what the last crazy thing I want to say about it is, like, I think a lot of people, we get wrapped up in who's doing what right now or the instant gratification society. But if you really want to be honest, like, out of all these players, like, obviously, you know, St. Brown is a lock, you know, Penne is a lock, but and I'm totally enjoy watching Gibbs and some of these players that are flashing. But to be honest, like, 2 of the players I'm most excited about, because I think they have so much of a ceiling to go and are going to be so integral in this team, is J-Mo and Jack Campbell, a.k.a. Revord. Like, I feel like those guys, I feel like Revord could be absolutely incredibly cult hero here in Detroit on defense. And J-Mo could turn into the J-Mo that we saw at Alabama in the next year or so, where it's like year 3, it's like, here it is. This is the player we saw on tape. So I think sometimes people get lost in that, where they start writing people off or think only focusing on the guys that are balling right now. Jack Campbell and J-Mo could end up being 2 out of his top 4 or 5 selections before we know it. You know, it's very exciting on so many levels. There's no doubt.
Yeah, a lot of good names out there. Lots of things to be excited about with this team. No doubt.
You want to get into Minnesota now? I mean, I'd say this is a pretty big ball game. Lots on the line. Lots going on with this football team. You ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Like you like to say, biggest game of the year right here in front of us.
The biggest game is the next game. We don't have time to mess around. So, Chops, I want to ask you this before we even get in this game. Were you happy that the Eagles lost so that the Lions have a chance to get 2 seed if they win out, or maybe even better? Or were you like, I don't know, me, who kind of just wanted the Eagles to win so that we could at least be in the playoffs and then see what happens from there? What was your take on that, briefly?
Oh my God, Okri, we're like a 99.9% chance to win, to make the playoffs. So no, I was absolutely thrilled that the Sea Chickens of Seattle decided to be the dreaded team, you know, that I hate the most, Philadelphia Eagles. So no, I was happy that, because again, I'm going for seeding now, man. We're in the playoffs. There's like, there's some crazy, somebody put it out there. There's like this crazy 11 leg scenario where we could not make the playoffs. And by the way, none of those are happening because we're going to beat Minnesota. So we could legitimately go, we could lose the last three games and still make the playoffs. We're in, it's a lock. I'm not worried about it. I want the number two seed. And maybe some, who knows, San Francisco might even sneak out another loss too and even fight for the one seed. So give me the seeding, give me home playoff games as much as possible, because Ford Field's going to be rocking and this team is starving for it. So no, I was not rooting for the Eagles on Sunday.
I mean, worried about it, but I think it's a little greedy for all you people to be all about getting this, getting that. We kind of need to get in the tournament and see what happens. I'm not really worried if we're three, we're one, we're four, we're five. Like, you just got to win at that point once we're in. I just want that home playoff game, though. That's my first and foremost. So, speaking of that, like, the Vikings are playing Nick Mullins at quarterback. They do have electric weapons, whether it be JJ or this rookie they got at wideout, or TJ Hockenson. You know, so they got some players on the outsides that people like get excited about their defense. Like, oh, the Minnesota, they got a crazy defense. It's like, they do? I couldn't tell you like more than a couple players on their D that are respectable in my mind, but they seem to be decent when it comes to ratings and stats, but like, other than Danielle Hunter and a couple of their backers or whatever, or, you know, they just have these street, off the street type corners and safeties, you know, old man back there, Harrison, probably still trying to do his thing. It's like, this team doesn't scare me much. I don't really understand how they went on that big winning streak. They have lost multiple games coming up. So I kind of just look at this as, you know, just have your team ready, go in there, out physical them, win the turnover battle, have your boy protect the football at quarterback, you know, inside, sling it around, use our weapons, and just beat this team. So I'm not too worried about it, but I do think there's a lot on the line just to take care of business now, celebrate before Christmas, see how the chips fall from there, and everybody get your home playoff tickets ready to go, get your tailgates ready, and let's do this.
Yeah, Okri, you know, you just listed off all those offensive weapons for Minnesota, but honestly, like, you do realize they've scored 100 less points than we have all year, right? So, yes, I know Jefferson missed some time. Yes, I know Kirk Cousins has been, you know, is out now. Like, I get it. They've had some injuries, but, like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't – this offense, if you put them up toe-to-toe with our offense, I'm taking my offense every day, even with them having Justin Jefferson. Like, Madison is questionable for the game. You know, they don't even know who their quarterback is. It's Kirk Cousins. Then it's, you know, he's hurt. So then it's, you know, Joshua Dobbs. And then it's Nick Mullins. And it's, you know, the guy from the bowling alley. Like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Okay. Like, we're going to smack these guys down. Like, you know, and again, I agree about your defense, their defense. Like, they have played some good defense against really bad offenses. So, when nothing compared to the juggernaut that they're going to face coming into Minnesota with this Lions offense that's ready to click. So I am not concerned at all. Let's take care of business. You know, in the season preview, I said that, and again, you laughed and a lot of people were like, this dude's freaking nuts. But I said that we were going to clinch the North in Minnesota this week at the beginning of the season, and I'm sticking with it, and it's going to happen. So we're going to win against an inferior opponent. Again, 7-7 or 10-4. We're clearly the better football team. Take care of business, like you said. Lock in that home playoff game, and let's just keep pushing for the as highest seed as we can in the NFC.
One of my favorite parts of the show is the deep recall by hashtag Choppy Hockey, hashtag Choppy Likey, hashtag what Chops said, hashtag, you know, this Chops lock of the whatever. Like, I mean, I'll give you one right here.
Woo! Hashtag choppy liking.
The only thing that's even funnier is that it's only when you're right, only when some random thing you said comes, you like bring it back out of the grave, which I think is awesome. But no, it's a good call by you. I mean, I think we both went crazy with our wins and those predictions, which has come true as well. This team, you know, 10 wins, looking for more, 11 this week, could be 12 when we go down and slap, you know, Jared Jones in the face and the Dallas Cowboys. Could be 13 when Vikings got to come to our house, but that's getting ahead of ourselves. I didn't say Detroit's offense was worse than. I was trying to figure out what Minnesota is good at because everyone touts them. Like I almost got sick to my stomach watching that Minnesota-Cincy game. The announcers kept reiterating that when the Vikings win out, they will win the North. And I'm like, are they going to win this game? And then they didn't. They choked at the end. So, I mean, they have a couple flashy pieces. They have a bunch of ho-hum defenders. And they somehow have 7 wins, but they also have 7 losses. So I don't know where the love is coming from, but I swear at least 10 times the announcers said, when they win all their games and beat Detroit twice, they will win the North. And I'm like, they're not going to do any of those. They'd be lucky to maybe win another football game or two is what you should be saying. So I feel like the Lions have to take care of business. Of course, you have to come in and do your part and take care of it. But I'm looking at this game as a game that they're going to be ultra motivated for. We're healthy. As you said, we have the better offense. Our defense is finally blitzing and getting after the quarterback and getting their hands on some footballs. So I guarantee you Nick Mullins throw you at least a couple, you know, the way he plays the game. He's a interesting backup type quarterback, but when you got to start him, he's going to turn it over multiple times, going to make a few plays here or there. He's going to make more mistakes than you'd like. And Chops, I see this game as just like another, again, I feel like I can't give the Lions 30 plus every time, even though that's what they seem to average and put up after I called the 40 burger. So give me like 27 for the Lions and give, you know, the Vikings like, gosh, I've been doing 10-point dubs all year too. Give them 20, I guess. Give me a touchdown win. Do it in solid fashion. And this fan base would be so hype on Christmas Eve to have the NFC North Championship in our back pocket heading to Dallas. And then you worry about seeding. And then you worry about this, that, and the other. Or then you just get hyped for 3 weeks because the Detroit Lions have a home playoff game at Ford Field. And I feel sorry for whoever has to come into the Lions' den. You feel me?
Is this where you play the Beetlejuice? Yeah, man, that's what I see you're talking about. Yeah, look, my retort to the...
Yeah, I understand. I got it in my head, dude.
Thank you. So, look, my retort to those announcers going gaga about the Minnesota Vikings, did they conveniently forget about the huge juggernaut that they were when they played Chicago and put up 10 points and lost? What about the time the following week when they played the Las Vegas Raiders and won 3-0? Okay. Yes, I understand they lost 27-24 and put up some points against Cincy, but dude, this team's nothing. It's a joke. So what, again, take care of business, go into their house, but I'm going to set the stage for you, Okri. Okay. Like just everybody take a breath. Let's put a picture here. It's a snowy Christmas Eve. It's the 24th of December. The Yule logs are burning. The stockings are hung. And the Lions are traveling into Minnesota for a 1 o'clock kickoff where they come in and absolutely crush the Minnesota Souls. Okay. The over under in this game is 47. I'm going to say to hit the over again. Okay. The Lions are a 3.5 favorite, which is moving up. All right. Chops. Hashtag Chops lock of the week is that the Lions are going to cover the alternate spread of 7 points, people. So bet it. The Lions will win by more than 7. I've got this as a 31-21 beatdown of the Minnesota Vikings. They get a late touchdown maybe in the fourth quarter to get it within 10. But we are just going to dominate this team again. The hashtag Goff train is going to roll into town. It's going to steamroll into town. And all the gimmicks are going to fly. My boy, Amon-Ra, is going to go bananas. And the Laporta supporters are going to be happy. And your elite weapon's going to be happy. And
Money's going to run all over the field as well. This is going to be an offensive juggernaut, and we're going to crush the Minnesota Vikings and clinch the NFC North. Woo!
Chops, I appreciate all of that. I really do, especially the run on gimmicks, the woo that you threw out, all the other boola boola that you did. But you didn't let Beetlejuice get back in because he also has takes on this game. And hey, Beetle, what are we going to do to Minnesota this week?
I'll put him down to his knees, buddy.
Exactly. And why are we going to put them down to the knees, Beetlejuice?
They can't handle me. They ain't tough enough yet.
Yeah, they ain't tough enough. Put them down to the knees. And yeah, I understand. I got it in my head, dude. So I appreciate all the gimmicks, Choppy, the bold predictions. Again, you have them scoring 30. Again, you have them winning by 10. I'm sure I don't even want to ask you about a stat line for your boy, Jared Goff. But I know my boy, Brian Branch, is going to be out there doing things with his mouth guard up and his helmet again. And let's just take care of business, man. TCB, let's get it done. Let's get this title and drink that Kool-Aid, and what else goes well with Kool-Aid, Choppy? I'm just curious.
Well, we got to end the show with a double side of cornbread for the people.
Cornbread!
Everybody, that's what we got. We served up some Kool-Aid, double sides of cornbread, gimmicks. We gave you a review. We gave some shouts. We talked about our sponsors. Chops bragged about his fantasy team. We gave you a preview of Lions-Vikings this Sunday. And we'll talk all about it and more next week, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
And don't forget to unleash Hutch.
Unleash Hutch.
Unleash Hutch. I'm ready to unleash Hutch.
Pack the bags, start the plane, this game is over! It is over! What a comeback by the Lions!
Drink it in!